Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, JohnParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, coming to you today. It's a rainy evening. I'm out walking around. Got an umbrella. And I want to do a verse-by-verse teaching. We're in the book of Matthew. We finished Matthew chapter 23. We want to start in Matthew chapter 24. You can go to JohnParish.com, look up the verse-by-verse tab. You can catch up with the past Matthew teachings. Let's get at the famous Matthew 24, talk of end times. Starting with verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. All right, so we have to realize in the Jewish culture, the Israelite nation, the temple that God had instructed Solomon to build, this was the centerpiece of the Israelites' faith system, as it was the true house of God. You'll hear modern pastors today talk about the house of God. They talk about their building and all that. That's not the house of God. God's people are his house. Today, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us that. But back then, that temple was their focus. And well, it should have been, because God ordained it to be that way until Pentecost came, Acts 2, and the Holy Spirit fell and indwelled God's people. Now, Jesus is instructing them on the old to the new. You know, this is very important to remember. God's word is a progressive revelation. What does that mean? Well, it's moving forward through time, and it's always showing us the true meaning of the past, based on where God's going with his revelation, showing us his shadows, his archetypes, his real meanings. So the revelation is progressive, moving from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And if we don't understand that rightly, we will get our theology confused. That's why there's a lot of people still stuck in the Old Testament. There's a lot of people have gospels that are false because they don't understand the progressive revelation of God's word. That's very, very important to understand. So they were concerned about the temple. Jesus was talking, is going to be talking about the temple. He says this in verse 2. And he said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So here Jesus is giving us a lesson. Now remember, he was zealous about the people turning the Father's house into a place of merchandise. In the book of John, he made a whip and drove people out. So Jesus took the temple very serious, of course, being God himself. But here he's about to show the disciples that that was a temporary, a shadow. And he's saying that this will all be thrown down. What does this tell us? Well, you cannot trust in rocks and dirt and buildings for eternity, because they're not going to last eternity. Christ is our eternal hope. He is our rock. None of those buildings could last or survive. Jesus is telling them to switch their focus from the temporary rocks and buildings to the eternal house of God. Jesus also seems to be predicting what happened to the temple. In 70 AD, it was destroyed, and he's teaching them not to look to a stone building, but he's going to teach them a much, much greater, greater meaning. Remember when Jesus said this in John 2, 19 through 20, this shows us the stone building versus the spiritual building, the spiritual house. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and thou will rear it up in 3 days. See, they had a very, very earthly mindset, but Jesus was speaking of an eternal mindset, him raising from the dead. We, saints of God, we must always have an eternal perspective to God's word, not the temporal, not the earthly. We don't put our trust and faith in buildings and in stone. We don't put it in archetypes. We put it in the one they were all pointing to, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Verse 3, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? Okay, so let me go back real quick to the last verse. I just wanted to say, you know, this is a big problem with churchianity. Their focus is on the material and buildings and structures and systems of men. You'll notice people oftentimes, their faith, their building, their system, everything man's built is much, much more important to them than God's word, eternal truth, and Christ himself. You can see it by their fruit. And that's not so of God's people. Our hope, our trust, our focus is in Christ, our God, our creator, our Messiah. Not a building, not a man-made system, not some type of organization. I just wanted to throw that in there. So here, Jesus' disciples are asking him about, in verse 3, what will be the end, the signs of the end of the days? They're looking for clues as to when Jesus is going to be coming again. Pretty wise of them to be asking. Who better to ask than Christ himself, right? Notice what's very important. He's sitting on the Mount of Olives. Why is that critical? Well, that's the very spot that the Bible says in the Old Testament he's going to return. Zechariah 14, 3 and 4. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. So Jesus is coming back to the Mount of Olives. He's not coming back to America. He's not coming back to Europe. He's not coming back to some other foreign country. He's coming back to Israel and the Mount of Olives. So it's pretty poignant that Jesus is talking to them from the Mount of Olives about what will be the signs of these last days. Verse 4, and Jesus answers and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. All right, so let's key in a little bit more on this verse. I think this is really critical. Jesus says, take heed, that's a beware, all right, that no man deceive you. That word is planeo. Deceive is planeo. It means to go astray. Yeah, how many people do we know, do you know, that's gone astray into false doctrine, right? I offer up to you that that is the day we are living in today, whether you're from America or another nation. Massive deception in churchianity all over. And this is a command from Jesus. Do not be deceived. It's why we test everything. It's why we discern all things. Why? Because it's honorable to God that we are not deceived. I mean, consider this. He is the truth, right? The way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. But what does it look like for a holy God who's redeemed us when his people haphazardly go off and follow lies and errors? It doesn't glorify God. No. So we test and we discern all things. He warns us to not be deceived. I think it's very, very important. Notice it says, let no man deceive you. So men are going to be deceiving, and we know it's about spiritual matters. So we're going to get to that in the next verse. Very important here, though. Do not be deceived. No man will deceive you. We know it's about spiritual matters. And we must always walk in the truth. That's how we keep from being deceived. We cling to God's word. We become Bereans. We test all things to God's word. We don't take things for granted. We don't trust men and their words. Like, don't trust what I tell you. Go and test everything I tell you to the holy word of God. This is how, by the discernment of the Spirit, we keep from being deceived. In the book of John, it says, he'll teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. We serve a good Father. He will not allow us to be deceived if we seek truth, cling to it, love it, repent of all sin, walk in the Spirit. Verse 5, Jesus says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So we know there's going to be an age of great deception. I offer to you, like I said, I think it's now 40,000 different denominations and cults all over. Apostle Paul did not have that problem in his day. Apostle Paul had some heresy and a few deceivers. We have massive levels of deception all over the world. in churchianity and cults all over. Here Jesus says, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. All right. This verse tells us the deception is spiritual. It's men that are doing it. And it's one of two possibilities. Have you thought of this? They are either saying that they themselves are Christ, meaning they're false messiahs. And that would be probably the most likely translation of this, where you have false messiahs coming along claiming to be Christ, right? But then there's another one. Could it not be they are saying Jesus is the Christ, but they still deceive people? What does it say? Many shall come in my name saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Sounds kind of strong, doesn't it? They're coming in Jesus' name, the Messiah's name, naming themselves as a false Messiah. That doesn't make any sense. I think, I lean towards, they're coming saying Jesus is the Christ and shall deceive many. This is false pastors, modern pastors. This is deceivers, cult leaders. That's what I believe this is talking about here. And the deception, I said, is spiritual. It's from men. And so we got to consider that. You'll have false messiahs, and then you'll have people saying Jesus is the Christ. You know, even Satan knows Jesus was the Messiah. And he uses God's word, and he still deceives, doesn't he? Absolutely, he does. I would offer up to you that both are happening today. You got cults with false messiahs, and you got churchianity saying Jesus is Lord. But they are teaching false gospels, false doctrine, false ways. Look at America. Let's just look at America, the nation I live in. 250 years of denominational religion were perverted, sexually corrupt, paganized, feminized, occult, prideful, wicked nation with 250 years of denominational religion. That's the deception that Jesus is talking about. Everyone's going to go around saying, oh, faith only, faith alone, grace alone. I get into heaven just by believing. You can live in sin. Now we got people ordaining women, and we got them ordaining sodomites and lesbian pastors. You got drag queens doing shows at churches. All this massive deception going on in these last days. Jesus says, do not be deceived. Either they're claiming to be false Christs, or they're claiming that he is the Messiah and deceiving many. Verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. All right, I really like this. Not the war part. I'll get to it, what I like. Jesus tells them wars are going to mark the end times and his second coming. And it's interesting. There's always been wars. I know that. People say, oh, there's been wars all of man's history. But did you know that since the United Nations was formed in 1948, and their primary goal was to stop wars. Did you know that? That was their primary goal. You know how many wars there's been since 1948? Over 250 wars just since 1948, since the UN has been founded. Yeah, there's been a lot of wars going on. It looks like they're increasing in occurrences. And many people say, well, there's always been wars, but I would say they've been escalating. And also, we're going to look at what is all happening in combination. We'll get to that. Also, with the internet and the media, think about this. We hear of them far more than past generations. What did Jesus say? You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We're going to hear about them a lot. I mean, you hear about just about every event that takes place of any kind of significance because of the internet. I think that's a point to make too. You're going to hear this stuff a lot more of what's going on. Right now, the war with Putin and Russia in Ukraine is going on. Now, here's the part I like about this verse. I like how Jesus says, be not troubled. These things must come to pass. Saints, when you see all this stuff coming down, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. You have to know that God is sovereign. He knows what's going to happen. He's laid this all out. He's allowing it all to happen for his glory. Jesus said in John 16:33, he's overcome the world. Be ye not troubled. This is the Father's will. All these things are coming to pass. Evil's going to be vanquished. Wicked are going to be judged. The righteous are going to be brought in and rewarded. All this must come to pass, saints. Do not be troubled. Go back and read that, ponder that. Jesus does not want us worried. You know, you hear a lot of people that claim to be Christians, oh, they're so afraid. They're worried about their life standard changing. They're worried about the future generation for their children. They're worried about their 401k. They're worried about all their safety and health and all this stuff. Jesus says, be not troubled. We should be looking with anticipation for his coming, knowing all these things must come to pass. Do you want Jesus to return? Do you want to meet your Messiah? Do you want him to vanquish evil, bring a new heaven and a new earth? Well, if you want those things to happen, all these things must come to pass. Trust in God, saints. He's got this all under control. It's the Father's will. I love that. Be not troubled. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different diverse places. Hey, can I go back to that other verse real quick? Fear. Jesus said, don't be troubled. How many people are living in fear over the world situation? Pandemic, wars, economics, health, all this stuff. Fear of any of that stuff, unless it's fear of God, is sinful. Yeah, think about that. So Jesus says, don't be troubled. Trust in the Father. Look for these signs for his coming. I just wanted to say that about that. So verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there should be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in different places. All right, so Christ mentions, again, the kingdoms clashing. That would be wars. Then he adds famines, pestilence, earthquakes in different places, diverse places. That word pestilence, loimos, it means plague and disease. Yeah, since we just went through COVID, all of us, all around the world in the last 2 years, it's interesting to ponder this verse. There's been many, many plagues over the ages. Yep, that's been true. That's true. But let's talk about this. We got wars. We got massive deceptions, false Christ or people saying Christ. Now we've got pestilences. Now we've got, mentions earthquakes. Earthquakes, they say, have been increasing many times over the last 100 years. Maybe we can record them better, or maybe they're actually increasing. I don't know. But we know that the occurrence of them is happening more often, whether it's better equipment, better reporting. Earthquakes are talked about a lot more nowadays. So what do we got? We got deception, false Christs, wars, pestilences and diseases, famines. Famines are all over. Hundreds of millions of people die every year. What? 150,000 people die every day, mostly from famine around the world. Yeah, famines are rampant. So here's the key. When you see all these things happening together at once, that's what Jesus is talking about. False Christ, massive deception, earthquakes, pestilences, famines, wars. When you see all these things happening together, that's the condition he's talking about. And let me tell you, saints, that's the condition of the world today. We could be very near those end days that are about to begin. At some point, they're going to begin. What can we do? Not fear. Don't be troubled. Jesus commanded and said, don't be troubled. What can we do? Live for Christ in holiness. Watch for the signs of his second coming and pray and long for his coming. Pray for strength to stand and preach the gospel to the lost. That's all we can do. That's what God's called us to do. Preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey everything he's commanded. Not worry, not hunker down in a bunker, not store up 10 years worth of food. Trust in the Lord. Do what he's commanded us to do and live for eternity. You know, you can't stay in this world very long anyway, no matter how old you are. 30, 40, 60, you're going to be dead soon. So am I. Live for eternity. None of this stuff matters in eternity. Remember, we said at the beginning of this, have an eternal mind view, a worldview. Have an eternal worldview and view everything in eternity. Don't view it through the flesh, and through the temporal. Amen? That's what we can be doing through all of this. Yeah, we can watch the signs. We can know the signs. Don't get too caught up in it. A lot of people, this is a big problem. A lot of people saying, oh, this is happening, must mean this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and they're tying all these loopholes together that Scripture doesn't really say. That's dangerous. That's adding to God's Word. What we need to do is read the Word, pray, watch and see, and allow things to happen without second-guessing God's Word. I'm just telling you, I'm not second-guessing anything. I'm just telling you what God's Word says, and I'm telling you what's the state of the world today. Wars, man deceiving, false Christ, false religion, pestilences, earthquakes. Yeah, it's all going on right now, just as Jesus said it would in the last days. Hey, could we be in those last days? Yeah, I think we are very near. Verse 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Wow, there's something. Jesus says these are just the beginning of sorrows. That word sorrows, Odin, that is meaning child pain, childbirth, pain in childbirth. What happens then? Comes in waves, right? And it can happen in 2 hours, it can happen in 3 days. But what's the ultimate happening? The child is born, but until then you have all that pain. Jesus says these are just the birth pains. When a woman's about to have a baby and she gets some pains, most people don't say, oh, it's going to come right away. Most people know it's the beginning of the process. That's what Jesus is saying. These are the beginning of the sorrows. And then when we go and we read the book of Revelation, what do we see? There's where we see the great destruction that the Antichrist is going to bring. There's where we see the great destruction that the judgments of God is going to bring. That is going to be the ultimate culmination of this all. But these signs he's giving us, deception, earthquakes, pestilence, disease, wars, man deceiving others, these are just the beginning of the sorrow. Some people think Jesus is referencing the tribulation. There's going to be a tribulation period, many say. There'll be a 3-year period where there's peace, and then it's going to get much more violent. 2/3 of the earth will be killed, in the book of Revelations tells us that. One thing is very clear. The world's woes are going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better. There's not going to be revival. There's not going to be heaven on earth before Christ comes back. Nope, the Bible doesn't predict any of that. The Bible warns of a great falling away, Paul talks about, great darkness. Jesus said in the book of Luke, will there be any faith when I return? He said the love of many will wax cold. He said very few are going to find. That word few means puny. Very few in Matthew 7. Are going to find eternal life. It's going to get worse and worse and worse, saints. But guess what? It's all going to change one day when the Prince of Peace returns and he rules with what? Ready? Revelation 19:15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Hey, I don't know where else to leave it, but right there. We're going to stop at verse 8. We'll pick up at verse 9 next time. Do not be troubled. Look for these signs, saints. Live for Christ. Live the gospel. Preach the gospel. And be ready to give up your life. Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. How's your testimony, saints? Are you sharpening it every day? Are you speaking it? Are you living it? Are you walking in it? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And ready? They didn't live troubled. No, they loved not their life unto death. Don't love this world, saints. Don't love your life. Get a hold of the kingdom of God in heaven in Christ. Get a hold of God's word. Get a hold of holiness and righteousness and seek it with all that you are. And Jesus promised us in Matthew 6:33, everything else will be added unto you. Don't live in fear. Don't be worried. Watch the sky. One day he's going to part the clouds. He's coming back for his own. He's coming back to vanquish everyone else. Keep your eyes, your ears, and your hearts open and ready for the return of Christ. Hey, till next time, this has been Brother James. Go to don'tperish.com. We got all kinds of resources to encourage you. Don't be troubled. Learn, study, be a disciple of Christ. Walk in His ways. Let me know how I can help you in that. We love you all. Till next time, go out, have a glorious day, and may God be praised.